The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Jay Austin, and I'm on KMED.
7:39. Been a lot of news coming out the last couple of days about concerns surrounding a Medford police officer, a SRO, school resource officer, Josh Doney. He ended up being reassigned to patrol from having been SRO at South Medford High School. And between social media posts, and I kind of discounted it at first. I wasn't quite sure what to think about this. And I realized that, gosh, there really is something to this. All right. And ended up reaching out to Michael Williams, who is a school board member on the Medford 549C school board. And apparently he was the first off, we welcome you to the program. Good morning, Michael. Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. Thank you. And first of all, let me first say that the views expressed here by me are mine and mine alone, and not a reflection of the position of the board. Thank you for sharing space for me this morning, Bill.
Yeah, and that's what we wanted to do, is kind of get to what you know, maybe try to avoid the speculation. I have some suspicions of what has been going on with some of the policies, and I've been pretty loud about this, but what happened that that brought you to the conclusion that the school district is not taking some of the violent student issues seriously, or are going about things the wrong way? Why don't you just kind of break that down for us, Michael?
Absolutely. You know, it's my first year in an elected position, and I took this very seriously. I do have children in the district. I have a vested interest in. Mm-hmm. One of the first things that I did was try to immerse myself in the schools. I attempted to try to get to all the schools in the district. I tried to not only attend events, not only meet with building administrators, but talk to everyone from top to the foundation to learn about education and learn about culture in this district. And one of the first things that stood out to me was that there was a significant amount of violence happening. There were a lot of fights that were occurring, and it seems like it was a thing that was ongoing. And what the sense that I was getting from folks in our community was people on the ground, was a sense of powerlessness, mm-hmm. that they didn't have the ability to really do anything about it. And so then I really began to lean in and ask questions. So one of the things that I want to make very clear here is about why did I come forward and talk about this, because I feel like it's very, very important to provide some clarity around this. And not only that, to express that the SRO at South that I spoke with, they are not a whistleblower. They didn't come forward, quote unquote, with any information. This was a result of me immersing myself in the schools and having the conversation. And this particular SRO didn't reveal any confidential information. They simply told the truth when I began to ask questions. And what I learned was that our district could have been doing more to address some of these issues. And that came up. I discovered that as I began to learn more about guns that were being found on students in our district.
Which is a problem, big problem. And what did, when you ended up digging into this, how were such students being dealt with? And I know we can't reveal individual student names, and that's not what I'm trying to do. But
certainly.
But I'm seeing here from social media posts that there were stabbings that were magically turned into just fights when there was reporting being done on it. And there's one thing to have a fight, and that's bad enough, but a fight with a knife is a little better, is worse, rather, I should say. Fight with a gun, same thing. You know, these sort of things. So what did you find out?
This is what I found out, is that we have district policy that we adhere to around, and we'll just talk about expulsions. And there's one particular policy, JGE, that talks about expulsions. And what it basically says is that a student cannot be kept from the school for a period greater than 12 months. However, there is a carve-out statute. I believe it's 339.250. You're going to need to check me on that. Mm-hmm. But I have that statute to share with you, Bill. But basically what it states is there's an exception for students that bring firearms to school, concealed or otherwise. Now, I understand that in these situations, these students were not bringing guns to school to conduct a mass shooting. However, they were, in fact, bringing these guns to school because they were going to use them as a form of self-defense, which that brings up a bigger question. What is the culture and condition within our schools wherein students feel like they need to bring a concealed weapon to school for protection? That's a problem in and of itself. The other issue is that someone from our district brought this attention to the attention of someone else in the district who could have done something about it, and that person was dismissed. Then I went and had a conversation with that person because I saw the issue, and I wanted to know what could be done from a board level, policy or otherwise. And then they brought this to me, and I brought that issue to the board. We had a meeting about it, a meeting executive session. Of course, I can't speak to that here.
Yeah.
Then we had a public school board meeting about that issue. And because I was able to get that, and because it was coming from a person on the board, we were actually able to make some adjustments to our tracking to ensure that these students are paid closer attention to because they were falling through the cracks. And so there's a couple issues with that as well. The other question is, you know, for a student who is bringing firearms to school, I mean, we used to have an alternative school, and, you know, there are questions around, you know, where do these students then go if after that 12-month period of separation they're not ready or in a place where they're willing to change? And my last thing I'll say to this, and this goes back to the sense of urgency that was created in me. You know, I did bring this up to our superintendent, and I said, you know, I went on a walk along in the school, and I found out about this issue, and I said, you know, what happens to the kids that get caught with firearms? What happens? And he said, you know, per the law, you know, we keep them out for up to a year. They learn their lesson, and then, you know, we let them back in the school. And my response to that was, how do you know they learned their lesson? Because the reality is, I ran into one of these students whenever I was doing a walk around. They were throwing gang signs in the school, and they got caught, and they also got caught with contraband. And this student was also a student who had previously brought a firearm to school. And the reality is that student did not learn their lesson.
Yeah.
And so I'm at a place. Yeah. So that's a reality. So the question is, you know, what can we do about that now? And I'm doing the work to try to figure out what that is from my position on the school board.
Michael Williams is on the Medford 549C school board. Well, Michael, it's an interesting story. And as far as the reassignment of the SRO, Josh Doney, and I imagine some of this was probably there are things that are personnel involved, but it appears that both Medford Police and Medford 549C superintendent, of course, you ultimately supervise, I guess. I believe that's the way it is, where you have the choice in here. Seem to be circling the wagons, the releases coming out and saying that the reassignment had nothing to do with a disciplinary action. This was just, you know, cycling someone into a different job. Do you personally, not the board, do you personally believe those statements that the reassignment of the police officer was just an ordinary thing?
No, I don't believe it. This is me speaking. The tension was ratcheted up after that. It was a big deal, you know, when we had that meeting and when he talked about those safety issues and when I had that conversation with the SRO, and the impression was given to me that there were folks that didn't want SRO, folks in the district, didn't want SROs talking to school board directors. And, you know, that whenever I brought this up, there were some denial of fact, but it is absolutely true.
Now, Medford Police work for the taxpayers, including the SRO.
Yeah.
What? Where does management come off in saying that a police officer should not be talking with the elected representatives who are in charge of making sure that we have an effective, safe school?
Well, let me be clear about that. There was some back after this was brought up in conversation. There was a little bit of backpedaling on that. And so then there was a denial that occurred. However, it was stated that there were some quote-unquote guidelines given on what they could or could not say or how they interacted with the board member. The point is this. There was an impression given that created discouragement whenever it came to some SROs speaking to board directors. And the reality is these individuals, they weren't seeking me out. I was going because I was just trying to learn about our school. But yes, I mean, I can't speak to exactly what was said, but It's my belief that there was some conversation around the conversations that we were having.
And it sounds like the policy or the standing operating procedure was to keep board directors in the dark about such matters.
I can't speak to that definitively. What I can say was the impression. What I can say was was the feeling. And so I can't say that I heard that directly. When I brought it up, there was some denial. But what I was hearing from people that I was talking to, it was expressed to me, hey, you know, just so that you know, there are people who don't like the fact that I'm talking to you. And that was clear.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just too bad for them. Because the fact of the matter, this is still supposed to be a free country. And you are charged, you were elected by people to be able to do your best job as a school board director. I don't have a dog in the fight as far as children in the district like you do. You're even more concerned, but, you know, we're forced to pay for this, and we want to make sure that things are done correctly. Here's the issue that I think is the root of this, though, Michael, and I mentioned this to you yesterday.
Sure.
Medford 549C School District, I want to say back, and I'm going to have more on this with a different guest coming up, but back around 2005, 2007, entered into a number of agreements about restorative justice. And it's a new way of disciplining students, and appears to be designed to, well, it's a non-punishment punishment, in essence. And in fact, it's even on the Medford 549C's website under the wellness. There's some people that are involved in this. And it's when people do bad things in the schools, instead of actual punishment, it's not about exclusionary discipline practices, such as suspensions when people do really bad things like what you've just been detailing here. And almost like we get into an indigenous circle and we have the perp talk each other to death with the victims and all these other things. And are you aware of these programs within Medford 549C? Because I know this was way before your time on the board, but we found the legal pathway here, and it looks like it's a real thing. And I'm wondering if this is what you're being affected by in this school system.
So real quick, I want to speak to one thing real quick before I answer that question, and it's that my vantage point is from the district side.
Okay.
That's the only thing I can speak to. As far as MPD around these issues, I cannot speak to that, and that's totally separate. Mm-hmm. And so I'm saying the impression I get from the district side. But with that said, I could not necessarily speak to the codification of restorative justice in our district, how it plays out. However, you know, what I can say is that in many ways, there has been a hands-off approach, I can say. And I can say that this comes from students, Bill. There are students who say that they feel that there isn't as much accountability as there should be. There are students that do not feel safe. And there's people in the school who want to do something about it. This is bipartisan. This isn't along party lines. I know some discussions around restorative justice can be, but the point about this is the people who are in the building, the people who are on the ground, in a lot of ways, they feel powerless to do something, and they're being subjected to increasingly more violent situations. And so can I say that I've seen some of what you're talking about in terms of less action being taken? And
a little bit of a kumbaya approach. Spitballing.
That
right?
has been happening. And the people who are doing that understand that there are to some degree, folks' hands are tied. There are things that were passed in the legislature that restricts their ability to take certain action. You also have to take consideration the building leadership, whoever the administrator is. They sort of set the tone for that, and that can vary widely throughout the district. So even though you can say and point out some of these things in the policy, how that's actually executed is sometimes at the discretion of the building administrator, and then you have the overall focus and vision of the district itself. and how they prioritize things. And Bill, I believe that we can do a better job of addressing those issues beyond just the Kumbaya circle. And I've seen a way in which our district has done that. We actually have a case study on that we can look at in one of our middle schools where we limited the access to cell phones. Now, I can't speak to all of the policy around that, but I can say that through limiting the access of cell phones, we're able to see real trackable changes in behavioral issues. And we will be talking about that. I will be talking about that with my other board members. We will be talking about that going into the fall. There are things that we can do, and I think our district is a place where we're ready to start taking on some of these issues in ways that we should have been a long time ago.
All right, Michael, I'm going to send you a bunch of links to information involving the policies that the district signed on to. And Parents Defending Education, a group that's been concerned about public education, has said that Medford 549C is the only school district in Southern Oregon out of all of them. There may be certain instances or aspects of restorative justice in all of them, according to state statute, like you were talking about. But Medford 549C has signed on to it, the only school district that has signed on to it officially. And I'm going to send you the information that I have. It's going to be a bit of reading, but I know that you really want to know what's going in here, and it's a choice that the district may have made, which may be tying hands that, as you speak about, and we'll talk more about that as time goes on. And I'll send it to you for your edification, too, just to see what's going on, and so we can get a better situation moving forward, okay? We'll do that, all right?
Thank you.
And if you are welcome anytime, and just out of curiosity, has Dr. Champion had any conversations with you about this, or is this something that has to be done out in open? I don't know what the protocol is when you have a board director and the superintendent, let's say.
So what I'll say is we haven't really had much conversation about this. What I can say is that there is what I'm doing now by having a conversation with you is I am taking risk. Mm-hmm. I felt like it was important. And you know, this does me no favors on the top. I understand that, but know that I did at least try to follow the protocol when I heard what I heard about this. I did go to our board chair, and then I was referred to Brett and had a conversation with him about what was going on, and the answers that I was given weren't satisfactory, in my opinion. And so that's what led to this conversation. But what I hope is that moving forward, we can have more honest conversations about this. And I do think that we have a board that is willing to lean in on these issues, and I can expect that we will be doing that this coming fall.
So I would imagine then, I'm going to translate here a little bit, that this is not going to be buried and covered up and ignored then, is what I'm hearing from you, right?
It won't be covered up and buried by me.
Okay.
And whenever it comes to some of these other issues as it pertains to behavior, the meeting that I believe it was in March 7th, meeting that we had on safety and the conversation that we had on safety, Bill, that's just the beginning. I am committed as an individual, I am committed to this, and I'm certain that I have some friends on the board who are not quite as vocal as I am, obviously, but I think that I've got some friends there who are committed to doing this work as well.
I appreciate you being candid with as much as you can be. I know you can't talk about everything, but the fact that you had the temerity to notice and bring this all up stands you in good stead. And I think the people will be behind you, and I think parents are going to have to get involved in this too, because political pressure, I think, within the school district, not with you, I'm talking about, but I think political pressure and agendas have probably exacerbated the problem that that you have noted here, and I think public pressure is going, along with smart policy changes from the board and input, is going to be needed to right the ship here, okay? And thank you so much for having joined us, Michael. We'll have you back anytime you want, okay? Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Bill.
Michael Williams, who is a board director on Medford 549C School Board. It is 7:58. Saudi's